I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming up in 20 minutes, we look at last night's Chiefs win over the Broncos on Sunday night. We also have your 12 DAs of Christmas installment for the day. The first four out. Number three from the first four out, the Dayton games, if you will. Joining us this morning here on the program, college football columnist for CBS Sports. You see him as part of HQ as well. You read him at CBSSports.com. Joining us is Chip Patterson, also one of the co-hosts of the Cover 3 podcast. Chip, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How we doing?
Doing well. I can't imagine there's any argument from you over the four that are included in the Final Four, but what about the matchups? Do you think that Cincy should be four while Bama is one because we don't want to see Bama and Georgia again, or do you think that should have been tossed out and perhaps putting Bama and Georgia in the semifinal would have been more fair?
So in terms of most deserving, Cincinnati should be one. I mean, there's only one team in the college football playoff with a zero in the loss column, and that's the Cincinnati Bearcats. Now, when we get into resume and when we talk about the performance, strength of schedule, strength of record, you know, some of these other metrics, I mean, even predictive metrics, if you want to lean on SP+, if you want to lean on other forms of power ratings that are able to break down what you did, how you performed. Like, Michigan has been among the most efficient teams the entire season. Georgia, absolutely the same all the way until that loss against the Crimson Tide in Atlanta. And then Alabama, in for my money, has one of the most impressive wins, if not the most impressive win that we saw during the entire 2021 college football season, going up against a Georgia defense that was on pace to be historic, and Bryce Young goes and sets an SEC record for passing yards. And so when you take all of those things into consideration, no argument. DA, I'll tell you that, if I'm to put my, you know, conspiracy tinfoil hat on, anyone who listens to the Cover 3 podcast knows we call it CFP Anon, and I think that there is not a better way to market Cincinnati's arrival and the Group of Five's arrival in the college football playoff than to have Cincinnati go up against Alabama, the team that has been in the college football playoff more than anyone else, the team that has won more college football playoff national championships than anything else. There is nothing more David and Goliath for a television show than Alabama against Cincinnati. I mean, that is going to get the normies to cut on their televisions on December 31st. That is going to get your New Year's Eve watch party tuned in on it. And ultimately, I mean, we're all about the eyeballs, right?
Yeah, but like QAnon, CFP Anon has a huge hole in its logistics here, and that is that if it was not Cincinnati-Alabama, it was going to be Cincinnati-Michigan, meaning we had Alabama-Georgia, and the committee doesn't want that as a rematch right away in the playoff, right? So that's definitely superseding trying to get Cincinnati eyeballs against Bama.
Oh, I mean, I was just saying that you can, like, talk yourself into, like, if you want to avoid the matchup, you can say Alabama-Cincinnati, you can explain it with the resumes, and you can also look at it from the idea of trying to promote this game and saying, well, that's about the best storyline that you had. Like, the 2-3 argument obviously doesn't matter. We're talking about hotels, we're talking about the coin toss, and we're talking about uniforms. But the 1-2 was a real debate between Michigan and Alabama. I think that the Crimson Tide ultimately did. That was a fair debate for Crimson Tide to get number one. And again, Cincinnati, the zero in the loss column could be most deserving. But the Alabama-Georgia rematch factor, I don't know. We'll see how much longer we've got the four-team playoff. And, you know, we'll see how much longer we spend in this sort of, like, space where we do have the potential for these SEC rematches. But I think this year was also very interesting because the College Football Playoff Selection Committee put Ohio State number 6. I thought that was a very favorable ranking of the Buckeyes compared to some of the other 2-loss teams and what they had accomplished. And so, and specifically looking at the Baylor Bears, specifically looking, you know, at the Oklahoma State Cowboys. But if Ohio had not lost to Oregon, DA, I think we would have had 2 SEC teams and 2 Big Ten teams, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. And then what do you do about rematches?
Chip Patterson, CBS Sports, joins us here on the show. Now, wait a second. Tell me about that hypothetical. Had what not happened, we would have had 2 SEC and 2 Big Ten?
If Ohio State had not lost to Oregon and every other result had been the same,
gotcha,
including the loss to Michigan, Michigan goes on to beat Iowa. Ohio State is a 1-loss team that has looked like one of the best teams in the entire country. C.J. Stroud, billion yards passing. You know, all of these impressive wins. The Michigan State score is exactly the same. And Ohio State would have been a 1-loss non-conference champion that looked awesome being compared with a 13-0 Cincinnati. And I wonder if Ohio State would have won that battle.
Yep, no, that's a fair hypothetical to wonder about. Do you think if Oklahoma State had won on Saturday, they would have gotten in over Cincy?
Oh, I think they might have, but I'm kind of glad that we didn't. I mean, you and I check in every couple weeks or so. We've talked about Cincinnati since July. I'm just happy, truly, that we got to this place where Cincinnati's in. We got it over with. It's not a glass ceiling that has been broken. And I think that's important because this was a 2-year run-up. You're only supposed to look at Cincinnati based on what they've done this year, but it is impossible to eliminate subconscious bias or the human element in this and look at the Cincinnati Bearcats with Desmond Ridder as a multiple-year starter with tons of veterans, Sauce Gardner, Kobe Bryant in the defensive backfield, one of the best secondaries in the entire country, and step back and say, well, you know that this team right now is 22-1 going back to the start of last season, and the only loss was a 3-point loss to Georgia on a neutral. Again, you're only supposed to look at this season, but I think the reason that Cincinnati has been able to have this favorable position is because of the last year run-up, and really the last 3 years, if you include the double-digit win season prior to that, again with Desmond Ridder, Sauce Gardner, Kobe Bryant, and many of the same veterans that have been helping Cincinnati reach this success. So if you are a team from outside the Power Five Conference and you're trying to take notes, you need to understand that one magical season won't do it. One magical season gets you the UCF treatment. But a multiple-year run-up is what you could do to try and capitalize to be able to make the college football playoff.
Yep, that's exactly right. Although let me push back on the concept that Cincinnati's the most deserving as a 1 seed. I mean, number one, Cincinnati's a 2-touchdown underdog to Alabama. So it's hard for me to imagine that the number one overall seed would be that lightly regarded by 2 touchdowns over anybody that they would be playing if they're the 1 seed. Number two, you say, well, they're the only unblemished record. But if Georgia was unblemished and Cincinnati was unblemished, we all unanimously would have said Georgia's the number one seed better than Cincinnati because of the league they play in, their quality wins, and because their path. So how can the league you play in, the number of quality wins in your path, not factor in if you have 1 loss, but factor in if you both have no losses?
I think that the most, when I said Cincinnati most deserving, I was definitely leaning on the idea of best versus most deserving. And in best versus most deserving, best is like odds, Vegas power ratings, how the predictive metrics, how you would look on a neutral field against this team. And that's what we see with the 2-touchdown spread going up against Alabama. I was thinking about the traditional sense of college football, where if you just had zero losses at the end of the season, you could claim a national championship. I'm taking it back to the grainy footage. I'm taking it back to, like, Minnesota's national championship. They got, like, five of them, and I don't think any of them are after 1960.
None of them are actually like on film.
Exactly. So that was just sort of looking at the traditional, like, most deserving. Like, well, if we really want to talk about most deserving, there's one team that hasn't lost at all, and it's the Cincinnati Bearcats. But it is a combination of best and most deserving that drives the debate, and the debate is, you know, all a good chunk of why we have so much fun talking about this.
We're going to spend the next month discussing whether Cincinnati has a shot and whether Cincinnati could even keep this thing close. I'd like to think so. I'll probably talk myself into it. But today, I'm not sure. I kind of doubt it. What do you think?
I was one of the only people on CBS Sports HQ to think that Alabama was going to beat Georgia. It felt like I was one of the only people in all of these spaces. And everybody told me I was an idiot. And I said, I understand the sensible pick is Georgia. The numbers say Georgia. I've got very smart people with me on the Cover 3 podcast who make their own lines and make their own numbers and point totals. They've got really good models that have allowed them to be so much better than me against the spread when we do our locks podcast on Thursdays. But I was going just all gut on this one. I was like, I don't know. I'm just not going to ignore the possibility that the greatest coach in college football history and a team that's loaded with this kind of talent isn't just going to go out there and figure out a way to get it done. And in the same sense of coming out of that SEC championship, I acknowledge that, you know, Alabama could come out here and lay an egg. And if they do, the door will be open for Cincinnati to do something special. I have also seen Alabama play Washington in a college football playoff national semifinal. And I have also seen Alabama play Clemson in a college football playoff national semifinal, and I have seen Alabama play Michigan State in a college football playoff national semifinal. And if you remember, none of those wins were spectacular, but there was never a moment at any point that Washington's Jake Browning, that Clemson's Kelly Bryant, or that Michigan State was ever going to move the ball or ever threaten to score. There is a height, weight, speed, talent advantage when that offensive line goes up against Alabama's defense, and I fear that that's what is going to happen in this Alabama-Cincinnati game. The kind of game, DA, where you're looking at the scoreboard at halftime, Alabama's not playing particularly well. Maybe they've got a turnover. Maybe Cincinnati even scored. Let's say it's, I don't know, 17-7. And you're like, hey, this all Cincinnati needs is a score, and they could be in this game. But you just have not seen on a down-to-down basis the Bearcats even threaten to be able to move the ball. And I think with the full time of preparation – between now and December 31st at that kickoff in Arlington, I kind of think Alabama's going to have that same kind of edge where the score might not be super impressive. Heck, they might not even cover the spread, but my sense is that Alabama is just going to be a little bit too strong for the Bearcats to score enough to win.
Chip Patterson joins us from CBS Sports. Well, not only was your gut right on Nick Saban winning that game, but also the metrics were right as well. Did you see this stat that Alabama had only been an underdog five other times under Nick Saban since 2008, and he had won outright four of those? I mean, when he has, as he calls it, the rat poison, where he has said we're disrespected, they don't believe in you, you are the underdog, then boy, his teams always play lights out. Let me just ask you about coaching situations before we let you go. This bizarre situation unfolding in Miami, number one, do you think it can work if Mario Cristobal doesn't take the job and Manny Diaz has to stay? And number two, what do you think about the Venables hire at Oklahoma?
Number one, I don't think it can work if that's the way it plays out. If I was – this is not sourced information because based on what I can tell, there really is actually parties on both sides awaiting a final answer from Mario Cristobal. And my gut says ultimately he will make what he is going to probably explain as a very difficult and painful decision to take that Miami job. If he does not, stays with Oregon and Manny's going to remain the Hurricanes head coach. I think that is a really disappointing and difficult way for Manny Diaz and his staff, which, by the way, also doesn't have offensive coordinator Rhett Lashley, who just took the head coaching job at SMU, a big part of why Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback there, was the ACC Freshman of the Year. Very difficult way for Manny Diaz to go into the season. If I was placing a bet or if I was, you know, making predictions with you casually, I think that Mario Cristobal does end up being the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes to start the 2022 season. The Brent Venables hire to me seems like continuity. It seems like an Oklahoma administration and an athletic director in Joe Castiglione who believe that the Oklahoma program is bigger than any one man and bigger than any one coach. And the history of Oklahoma football does suggest that, you know, outside of John Blake and one season of Howard Schnellenberger, pretty much every other head coach over the last several decades has been successful, has won conference championships, and has been able to continue to maintain the Oklahoma football brand and the standard of excellence. So with that in mind, then, yeah, you bring in Brent Venables, and I'll be curious to see how the rest of the staff fills out, but Bob Stoops' involvement, everything seems like it's continuity, right? Like Lincoln Riley did leave with a few assistants that are very highly thought of in terms of their work on the field and on the recruiting trail. But I think that some of the skeleton staff that stuck together with Bob Stoops, I would not be surprised if some of those names, and DeMarco Murray, obviously the one that's going to pop in the eyes of college football fans, I would not be surprised if some of those coaches do remain on Venable's staff. And again, this becomes an idea of people who are committed to the program rather than going to hire a head coach. And I'll pitch it and to like, or juxtapose it to this. If they went to go hire some superstar head coach, that superstar head coach might have been like, okay, I want to hire all of my own assistants. I want to get rid of all of these staffers. I've got the plan. I'm the genius. Give me the keys to the Oklahoma machine and I can get this thing going. And I just think that with Oklahoma's pride and the success that it's had over the decades, Joe Castiglione, Bob Stoops, the university administration, that they really believe not that anybody can come in there and have success, but that somebody who knows the job and knows the people of the area, that they might be able to come and guide it. And for Brent Venables, happy for the opportunity. It's going to be really tough. Like, I don't know when the SEC move ends up getting made, but Brent Venables guiding Oklahoma into the SEC era is going to be an immense challenge. But for Oklahoma in the now, this was all about continuity.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good read on that. Chip Patterson, follow him on Twitter at Chip_Patterson. He's one of the hosts of the Cover 3 podcast. So check that out, courtesy of the guys at CBS Sports. They do a really good job covering everything, specifically college football, the Cover 3 podcast. Chip, always good to talk, buddy. I'm sure we'll do it before the playoff, man. Thank you.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
You too. Chip Patterson, our guest from CBS Sports. When we come back on the program, the Chiefs beat the Broncos last night. We'll dissect and the 12 DAs of Christmas. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Snap to Bridgewater. Back to throw. Against the pocket. Deflected. Intercepted. Intercepted by Sorensen at the 40. He's at the 50. And breaks a tackle. Sorensen at the 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Kansas City, the second consecutive year that Dirty Dan Sorensen has had a pick six against the Broncos.
I feel like we're not playing our best football. We have spurts where we're really good, and we have spurts where we kind of have these, we're not scoring, we're not finding ways to finish drives. So definitely as a competitor, you want to be better. But I think you win football games, you win football games at the end of the day. And so for us, if we keep winning football games, defense keeps playing the way that they're playing, when the offense, we really become who we know we can be, we'll be a hard football team to beat.
Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs get a 22-9 victory last night. That was Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio with your call. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder that the DA show is available all inside the Odyssey app. That Odyssey app brings you live radio, all of CBS Sports Radio, so you can pause and rewind and fast forward us live radio, which is awesome. But also the podcast is available in there as well. The PGP, Sunday Morning Football, the DA show, the best of, the full 4 hours. So one-stop shopping on your phone for the DA. The Chiefs win last night, and none of it is pretty. Mahomes throws for less than 200 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. The Chiefs ran for less than 90 yards on 24 carries. No Chiefs wide receiver had 100 yards receiving. Darrell Williams had the most yards with just 60. In fact, Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire combined for 6 of the 15 catches, both out of the backfield, for the Chiefs. It just was not a great effort from the Chiefs offensively. And you just heard the Daniel Sorensen, Dirty Dan, pick 6 there. So a day that the Chiefs certainly didn't look their best or play their best. However, at what point of the fourth quarter, it's a 22-3 game. And here's why I think it's a mistake to frame this as what's wrong with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are winning football games, and they're winning football games without the offense being great. And that's the most important story, is that if the Chiefs can win football games via defense, it makes them even scarier in January. The fact is, the Chiefs' defense, since they've turned this thing around in early October, really, they started winning games over the last month and a half, but it was early October when the defense finally came up with all of these stops and big performances. They've had one of the best defenses, if not the best defense, in terms of points allowed in all of football. So focusing on the offense is easy because we're used to the fireworks, but it's not the most important piece here. The most important piece is, if the Chiefs' defense is one of the best in football, that part of this equation works against anybody in the AFC. A great defense is going to turn the Titans on their head, is going to turn the Chargers or the Bengals on their head, is going to turn the Bills on their head, is going to turn the Colts on their head. I mean, a great defense, it's what the Patriots are doing right now. A great defense is going to cover up for a lot of everything else, and the Chiefs have one. So it really doesn't matter if the Chiefs' offense isn't clicking. Great defense, that game last night, the Broncos have a really good D. Mahomes was not going to be able to carve them up. They've got a really good defense against the ground game. They did it last night. They did not make life easy on the Chiefs. But also, they couldn't do anything against the Chiefs' defense. Nothing. They didn't score a touchdown until there was 5 minutes left in the game, and the game was already over. So I actually think that's the biggest thing. That we might see Chiefs and Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and it would be based on their defenses that got them through the AFC gauntlet. It is time for the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Did he ever tell you why I'm not allowed to food shop?
No.
Because I shop too healthy.
Ostrich eyes, am I? Oh, no!
This boxer, he's putting up a 3-level, 4-bathroom, 3-bedroom place, man.
Why does your chef sound like a jazz singer?
Have you ever owned a goat before?
I have. Was
golfing with me one day.
She
and
was
jumped.
Golfing. What was her handicap?
Broken neck.
Got it.
Unbite me! Holy crap, it's hot at the bottom, you fuck!
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with chairs.
This is the third entry in the first four outs. This goes back to August the 5th. We were finally back in studio about a month earlier, and we had a camera in the control room that shot high down on Mraz. It enlarged or enhanced what was already a pretty puffy Buddha belly. Mraz, upon seeing himself in camera, on camera every day, had a meltdown. Mraz lashed out yelling, "Come on! Come on!" And I couldn't tell what exactly you're so angry about.
It's honestly depressing. This Watch DA and this Twitch stream, every camera in the studio is broke. So you have a nice camera in there, and now I'm propped up on a phone on a tripod with a ring light, and there's something about this angle the cap is set up. Look, I'm not denying I know I'm not in shape. I look like the fattest sausage bursting out of a casing right now every day. And I got to look at my white beard, and frankly, my moves bouncing all over the place, my rubber-tire stomach. I can't live like this! I can't live like it anymore! And it's depressing every day I look at myself. What am I doing? I'm killing myself, and I got to stare at it through this stupid phone and stupid camera because I can't get the normal camera working. So I don't know where Kirlu is. I don't know where Cap is. I got to do my part with dieting, but can somebody stop making me look at my fat ass like this every day? It's depressing. I'm a slob, and it needs to end.
I'm going to say, you pulled up your shirt out of, I guess, some type of anger, and you grabbed your Buddha belly and shook it. There's a lot there.
There is, and that's my point. I get it. It's there. It's there. I am disgusted with myself, and I think it's being compounded by Cap's solution to get me on camera on Twitch every day. I am looking at a pillar of death. I mean, I look at the way I look on Watch DA, and I give myself 10 years. I mean, this is horrible. Horrible. I promise you, I'm doing the shakes. I got the brown, the white. I do a little grilled chicken for lunch. It's not like I'm sitting down and tying my hands behind my back and just slugging like a pig at the trough to dinner. I mean, I'm not that disgraceful. Sure, I could cut out some sugars. I don't even drink during the week. Can a doctor find a thyroid problem with me? It makes no sense. How could Stu lose that much weight on quarantine? How could he do it? And I am sitting here, basically, jeans hanging on for dear life?
Oink, oink.
You might take four steps forward, but then you ultimately take like 10 steps back when you really, when the weekend hits, it's a brutality out there. It's a bloodbath.
You're probably right. And you know what? There's unaccounted for sugars. I don't know what we could label that stout. UACSs?
UASs?
UASs. UASs. There are those. Like, I know now that I'm thinking back. Like, yesterday, I'm pretty sure I grabbed a handful of Swedish fish at my parents. I don't need those fish. Like, how about I make salmon? How about I have those fish? Why do I need the Swedish fish out of the can?
One of the great meltdowns. I think this is the first one that I've really felt like was criminally underrated, including by myself. That is the first four out, number three on the 12 DAs of Christmas from August the 5th. I voted it as one of the first four out. Apparently, Mraz, Cap, and Bilotti didn't even have it on the list. Not even one of the first four out.
Technically not one of the first 16, no.
Connor had it at 7, and Bogue saved our asses by putting it in your top 5. Which at least got it high enough to play on the air. Thank goodness you did that, because you know what? I thought it was, I mean, we have a lot of good options and entries, but listening back, man, to say my rubber tire, I can't live like this. I give myself 10 years. I'm a pillar of death. Bogues, that just had it all.
You forgot my favorite part. Can a doctor find a thyroid problem? He was asking for a disease to explain all of these issues. Now, I can't take any real credit here because I think I dropped the ball on your Mraz cutout segment. I think I had the worst voting of that one of all the groups. So I think we kind of flip-flopped here and this balances out. But yeah, I mean, this one to me, I mean, it does border on like sad at times because I think there's real pain in Sean's voice and it hurts to hear it. But
just probably why I didn't vote it in.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The thing about this is, and I'm not here to pile on, obviously, but Mraz has these semi-regular meltdowns. I can't believe how unhealthy I am. This is crazy. How does this guy do it? How does that guy do it? I'm not just slugging from a trough. And he cites Stu. Now, Stu Kovacs is a producer here at CBS Sports Radio. And Stu came back from quarantine and had lost 30 pounds. 40 pounds?
Whatever. Basically, he looks like he lost stew.
I mean, yeah, and he bikes all the time. He's eating healthy. He looks great. Connor Green came back from quarantine, also lost weight. Pete the Body's on an amazing health kick right now. He's lost weight. He looks great. So everybody around Mraz is shedding pounds, and Mraz has this giant, huge tanker. And, you know, he lashes out like, how do they do it? And then you get to Football Food of the Week, and it's like Dorito dip with Fritos and cheese on top of.
What, are we just combining everything now?
it's pizza dip with pepperoni and cheese and sauce on copious amounts of white bread. Like,
put on top of pizza.
Don't tempt me to put kale in that column this weekend.
But
don't do it.
You can't actually wonder how everybody else is losing weight and you're not. I mean, you just told us last week, you're like, gonna be good all week long. I'm gonna just eat grilled chicken and steamed vegetables. Did you make it Monday through Thursday?
Wednesday, I felt too sick to cook, so I ordered something.
And what'd you order?
Hot chicken mama. It was.
What's that? What is a hot chicken mama?
It's a Nashville chicken place that opened up on Long Island. So I got a sandwich with slaw,
you
fries.
Got fried chicken and then on a sandwich with French fries.
And then I finished Taylor's fries and nuggets.
Okay. So you had multiple servings of fried chicken with French fries.
But I was sick.
I know. And then you got to
with a sore throat, and then you jammed hot chicken down your sore throat.
I just had no energy, man. When I'm sicker, I get hungrier.
And then we got to Friday, and Yankee Doodle Dandy, the sister's pet.
Oh, but I made out there because I didn't go because I was sick.
Oh, because you were planning on eating tons of pizza.
Yeah. So what happened was Danielle went, and she brought me back two slices, so I didn't have three or four like I could have there.
Okay, but either way, you had already earmarked time in your week when you were supposed to be trying to be healthy too, and this is the day I eat four slices of pizza.
Okay, but like, so you're telling me Stu never phrase? I mean, how do people do that at all?
Go ask them.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I promise you. I do the shakes through the week. You're telling me one bad day on a Sunday means I've derailed everything? So these people just stay disciplined every day, every meal? I mean, yeah, you're smoking things left and right, and somehow you're never jiggling. You never have half a move hanging out.
You take it to another level on Sundays.
No, I don't.
What did you have this past Sunday?
I mean, I don't know. I had some macaroni and cheese.
Let's start at the beginning.
Right.
Was there a bagel? Bacon, egg, and a cheeser?
Danielle made pancakes.
Okay, so you had pancakes. Anything with the pancakes?
Turkey sausage.
Okay. Turkey sausage. How many pancakes?
I smashed four.
Four large pancakes.
I only know that because I started with a stack of three short stack, and then I saw there was another one on the plate, so I had
it. So four large pancakes.
It was 9 a.m.
Okay, 9. And then by the time we got to noon and 1 and the games kicked off, had you had lunch?
To my credit, I felt a little better yesterday, so I went for a run.
Okay.
I did. 2 miles, took the dog. I came back. And I had some wraps from Costco, like some chicken lettuce. So that was healthy. Okay. And then there was some leftover macaroni and cheese that was, again, my daughter's that I ate.
All right.
So I had that. And then I was good.
Okay.
And then before I went on the air, I had, because I thought I wasn't going to eat with my wife, I went back up and there was like some stuffed peppers that were also from Costco. I had one of those.
Okay.
Thought that was going to be dinner. My wife waited for me to eat dinner till I was off the air, and I didn't know that, so I didn't want to tell her I'd already eaten dinner. So then I had pasta and meatballs with her at 7:30 last night before Sunday night football, or 7:45.
Any dessert?
No dessert. Well, I mean, again, the unaccounted for, I probably grabbed a cookie out of the cookie jar.
Okay. Chips during the day?
No, actually. Okay. No, I was actually, but honestly, that was more laziness.
Beers?
Than anything. No, because I haven't felt right to drink
yet.
All right. But that's, see, this is, I'm going to actually play devil's advocate.
It's a light week.
That's a good week
That's
for me.
That's a great week.
For and you it's to still only, not great.
For you to only eat four pancakes and a huge pasta and meatball dinner with lunch in the middle is actually a light Sunday for you.
Right, with no alcohol. So you're saying, though, if I went like egg white spinach instead of those pancakes, then I'd still be okay with the pasta, but because I dug myself an early hole, kind of like the Bengals did yesterday with the pancakes, I need to avoid the pasta, and that's why Stu's not making that mistake.
Probably, yeah. I don't. First of all, I think if Stu sits down for pancakes, he has one or two, not four. If he has the pancakes, he definitely doesn't eat two dinners. And if he has two dinners, one of them definitely isn't giant bowl of pasta with meatballs.
I gotta get in the lane. I need a new head coach. Somebody in that locker room.
Yeah, it's definitely the head coach.
Can you fire yourself?
I think it's the bar.
Bob's bar?
I think it's the bar.
Mean? It's closed. It's freezing.
No,
out.
No, but I think that is a big thing that happens. You go to the Bob's bar and you wolf down everything.
It's been like 2 months since I've been at Bob's Bar.
I'm just saying in general.
No, what happened was I had a great plan this week, a great game plan, and I got sick. And when I get sick, I get even lazier, I get crankier, and I get hungrier.
Well, August the 5th, that meltdown is one for the ages. I loved it. It's so good. It's one of the first four out. But all of the 12 DAs available in podcast form. So go to our podcast feed, and you'll see them every single day posted. Also, Cap posts the video every day as well. And Cap's gif of Mraz jiggling his tanker during this rant is just an all-timer. He pulls up his shirt to show his bare belly and then grabs it from both sides like, hey, is this what you want? Is this what you want? And it's like a Sleep Number mattress that's under there. It's huge. It's like a body pillow.
Like someone was sitting underneath him.
It is amazing. It's like an ottoman you carry.
Yeah, that's going to make me feel real good going into the rest of this day that I'm carrying an ottoman.
You're watching it on Twitch. You're watching it on watchda.com. And I'll just say this as an exclamation point on this. When Cap first released this GIF, I thought it was digitally enhanced. I thought he had widened the bottom of it somehow with Photoshop.
He's got CGI back there?
Because when he grabs it and he leans back, it doesn't look like it's actually part of his body. It actually looks like the pancake batter that somehow pouring out from underneath that shirt. I can't believe it. It is amazingly wide.
Is anybody listening that can sell me some kind of weight loss thing for the radio here? Make me do it for work so I succeed? Every fat guy on radio loses weight because some sponsor jumps in. I got nobody helping me. Oh. But please, Burger King, hop in again.
We got the triple stack, double chicken burger, if you want to push that.
The release of that undershirt is remarkable.
Yeah.
When you pull it up and it's no longer holding that stuff taut.
Yeah. It lets it all spill out. It's really like pancake batter that just spills out. You're like, whoa, that won't fit in the griddle.
I'm going to spend my money feeling like Dan Campbell is felt every week now.
All right, AB has our headlines. Mr. Bokes?
Let's go back to the Chiefs. They managed just 267 yards of offense last night. Patrick Mahomes, a rushing TD and a pick, limited by some bad throws from him and drops from his receivers, but they all ended up beating the Broncos 22-9 on Sunday Night Football because of their defense. Three interceptions of Teddy Bridgewater, one of which Daniel Sorensen returned 75 yards for points. They also stopped Denver three times on fourth down. Look out once the Chiefs remember how to play offense, says Mahomes.
You win football games, you win football games at the end of the day. And so for us, if we keep winning football games, defense keeps playing the way that they're playing, when the offense, we really become who we know we can be, we'll be a hard football team.
They're already hard to beat. They've won five in a row. All four division leaders now 8-4, pending the Patriots game in Buffalo tonight. New England has the one seed in the AFC at the moment. The Panthers fired offensive coordinator Joe Brady yesterday as their bye finished. Carolina has lost 7 of 9, is 23rd in points and 28th in yards. Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables is the new head coach at Oklahoma. He's turned down multiple jobs in the past, but now returning to Norman, where he was an assistant for a dozen seasons. And I'll preface this again by reminding us all that Manny Diaz is still Miami's football coach, but the Hurricanes have reportedly made an offer to Mario Cristobal and want an answer by noon Eastern today. Oregon, meanwhile, making a lucrative offer to keep Cristobal. with them. NBA last night, the Rockets pushed their win streak to 6, 118-108 over the Pelicans, and the shorthanded Hornets shot their way to a win in Atlanta.
Oubre, wing three, he's hit, and he buries the three! Possible four-point play! Kelly Oubre Jr., as clutch of a shot as you can get.
Sam Farber on Hornets Radio, Charlotte hitting a season-high 17 threes in the 130-120 decision over the Hawks. They won without four regulars because of COVID. Two different veterans committees elected six men of the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. The group includes Jim Cott, Mini Minoso, and Negro League legend Buck O'Neill. And the last place, Vancouver Canucks, have fired head coach Trent Green and GM Jim Benning. Bruce Boudreaux comes in to be their new coach. DA, cookie out.
Thank you, Bucks. Dixie Landan tweets, was that the same day Mraz said he was for sure going to have a heart attack at some point in the next 10 years? I'm not sure. You've threatened that type of thing a couple of times.
Yeah, and even been threatened by my wife to stop saying that on the air because my kids are listening.
Scotty B tweets, Mike Glennon looks like a dandelion and Joe Judge is the little kid who blew all of his seeds off. My back. My neck, my back.
This waka giant, waka.
This Giants offense is all out of whack.
Glennon, my neck, my back. That Giants offensive effort was whack. Waka waka.
Was whack. Like Mraz's Run DMC in the 80s. Whack, dude.
Was whack.
Totally whack. When we come back, we've got your advanced analytics and your epic fail. DA, CBS,
waka waka.
CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz's post-Giants hype video for his post-game radio show was groan-worthy.
The only joke you didn't go with was, I flew to Miami to see the Giants lose, and boy, are my arms tired.
Oh, and he's dressed head to toe in Giants garb, so it's so sad. It's like you're still
supporting a James Bradbury jersey.
You're supporting this garbage franchise still, and now you're going to do a post-game show, and you're in your tattered Zubaz.
My neck, my back. That Giants offensive effort was whack.
It looked like an old pirate flag. And you're doing bad stand-up?
Waka waka.
You know what? Just go back to wiping your butt with a jersey.
Glennon, my neck, my back. That Giants offensive effort was whack. Waka waka.
Look at any of you guys right now.
Right now, Mraz is covering his face with a scarf, like a handkerchief.
It's a sleeve, but I honestly don't want to look at any of you guys in the eyes.
You are so humiliated.
Expletive him.
Because you're right. I knew they were bad jokes. I was deflated. The season sucks. It's their eighth loss. I hate when that, like, individual world of mine clashes with the DA show world of mine, and it leads to just purely getting called on the carpet, and I'm embarrassed and mortified for everybody, including my family.
Lose, lose, lose. Waka waka.
My neck, my back. That Giants offensive effort was whack. I can't believe you led with that.
Now, Mike Glennon, my neck, my back. That Giants offensive effort was whack.
I did not write that
waka,
down.
Waka waka.
I did not write that down. I thought of it in my head. I said, this would be funny. And I thought about singing it.
I caught a cold this week. That's more than Saquon Barkley caught all week.
But then I realized singing it sounds happy after a game, so I just got to go with it and hope everybody gets it. Oh,
you should sing next time.
Oh, man. Or take a week off.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, and another side note, he broke wind before that whole
discussion. Oh, nice. Oh, great. Nice. So the smoke came out of the Vatican?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have Jake Fromm starting next week.
We don't have a pope yet.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz's pain on his face while having to re-listen to his hype video was real and palpable. Our DA show question of the morning. Did John Harbaugh make a mistake going for two? Ultimately, they did not get it. Pass was incomplete. Ravens lose by a point. 51%, actually 51.3, said no. So just slightly more than half of you believed he did not make a mistake. 48.7% said yes. Advanced analytics tells us that the NFL adopted the two-point conversion in 1994. The first two-point conversion in NFL history scored by the great Tom Tupa. Mraz also went for two yesterday. The Sultan of Sodium had dinner before his show on WFAN, a stuffed pepper, and after his show as well, spaghetti and meatballs. My neck! My back! That Giants offense is so out of whack. My neck!
Waka waka.
My back! That Giants offense is so out of whack. Oh, there's the smoke out of the Vatican. The Giants will be starting Jake Fromm on Sunday. Oh, and there comes that stuffed pepper as well.
You could do the video next week.
That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.